This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Tuesday, July 29th, 2008. I'm Caleb Brown. Depending on who you believe, inflation in Zimbabwe is somewhere between 2 million and 10 million percent, sometimes 15 million percent. Zimbabwean citizen Rejoice Ngwenya, a writer and head of the Zimbabwean Coalition for Market and Liberal Solutions, details some of the ground-level impact of an inflation that has worsened already horrific poverty. What is the approximate inflation rate in Zimbabwe today?
Well, there are usually three figures that are floated around. The first figure is this official figure that comes from the Department of Statistics, which comes once every 6 months. But we are told that it's about 11,000%. Then there is a figure that comes from the banking sector, which is also semi-official. The sector talks about a 2.5 or 3 million percent. Then we get a figure that is almost accurate that comes from independent economists and independent financial newspapers that is that fluctuates between 10 million and 15 million percent. And that, I'm afraid, is the figure that progressive individuals like myself are working with.
Americans have almost no experience with a hyperinflation. I presume that the ability for Zimbabweans to save in any real sense using the Zimbabwe currency is for naught.
Yeah, right. Right. Incredible. Talking about Americans, Christopher Dale was the last ambassador of USA in Zimbabwe before he was replaced by James McGee. And before he left, he mentioned in public that he thought that inflation was going to go beyond 10 million percent. And we were like, really? It was a new thing for us as well, because we're used to high digits. We're used to 6,000 percent, but we never thought we were going to get to 10 million. But of course we did. We always say that it was predicted by an American. However, living in an economy that is a 10 million or more percent is almost inconceivable. To explain it to an individual who comes from a civilized world, it sounds very difficult. But of course, the value of money itself is worthless.
What about the process of just buying a simple product?
That's another interesting aspect of that kind of inflation, because since money is valueless, it means that whatever price is put on the product, it's only a presumptive price. In other words, the price, if the value of money was good, this shirt would probably be worth $1 trillion. Now, what then it means that if I want to buy a shirt for $1 trillion, first of all, I cannot have access to that $1 trillion in cash. I will have to go to the bank and make a bank transfer. Because naturally, the bank will say to me, "Listen, Rejoice, you can only get $100 billion in cash, which I can buy a Coke." So I then go to the bank and spend 6 hours making a transfer of $1 trillion. By the time I come back to the shop with an invoice, with a pro forma invoice as proof of deposit, the shop is likely to tell me that in the last 6 or 7 hours, the commodity, the price of the shirt has gone up from $1 trillion to $4 trillion. So you can see how the erosion of money is. In other words, each and every minute that you are not in the shop, the value of the currency is being degraded. The only alternative then is to use the US dollar to make a transaction like that, because that's the only currency that is stable.
And that's illegal?
Well,
basically?
Well, it's basically illegal, because the bank, the retail system is not yet geared towards accepting the greenback. But the banking system, you know that you can go and sell your greenback to the bank, but the rate will be terrible, because the bank will be offering you, say, 11 billion dollars per US dollar, but the open market is offering you $300 billion. So it's only sensible to sell it to the open market. So unofficially, it's going to quote you two prices. It's going to say to you, if you want to buy this shirt, you can give me $20 and it will make a receipt that says $1 trillion. If you want to give me in Zim dollars, today it's $1 trillion, but by the time you come back tomorrow, I can't guarantee you the price. So it's your risk, virtually.
What about buying food for your family? How is that altered by such a huge amount of inflation?
That, for the main street, I'm afraid, has been one of the most devastating aspects of hyperinflation, because for a person like myself who occasionally has access to foreign currency, it really is not a big deal, Because if I went into a grocery shop, for instance, most of the shops that have groceries are the Spar Group. The Spar Group is a South African franchise, maybe it's even international, that's run by the Grit community. Those always have commodities that are imported from South Africa. So if I have enough local currency, which I can, because I can go to the open market with a couple of US dollars and get enough in cash, so that would not be a problem. In fact, if I go to the open market, I can get as much as I want in local currency because they've got so much of it. It is not a problem. But for the common man in the street, it is a miserable life. So the only sensible thing they can do is not to have anything. Don't worry about bread. Don't worry about milk. Don't worry about cooking oil. Because even if it was there, you would never have access to it. You don't just have sufficient local currency to have that. So the only other thing is you wait for a guy who is coming from Botswana or South Africa with it. If you have got a couple of chickens to offer him the chickens, he's going to give you cooking oil. So the normal average grocery and supermarket is a completely no-go area. It's a completely no-go area for the common man.
What is the impact of this type of inflation on the banking system itself? You said it was semi-official, but how does the banking system deal with this kind of inflation?
Well, because you know the usual Zimbabwean and genuine when in the times of crisis, what they have done unofficially is to get together as banks and decide when my current account is reflecting $30 trillion, which is basically nothing, man. It's just a couple of baskets of grocery. They remove the six zeros. In other words, it is better for my account on paper to reflect 30 million or 30 billion than 30 trillion. So it's up to the bank to decide whether or not to give you a bank statement that has 30 or 30,000 or 30 billion. They will be able to tell you that if we have 30 billion, it means 30 trillion. If we have 30,000 on your statement, it means 30 million. If we have 30 billion, it might mean 30 trillion. So the banking system has unofficially gotten together to ensure that for the system to operate, they should remove about six zeros from the digits, so that whatever figure that you see on paper, whether it's a bank statement or a short statement, it took about 3 to 4 weeks for the automated teller machine system to accommodate the zero system until they decided, let's get off the six zeros, get rid of the six zeros and work with the figure that the machines can accept. And we're quite happy with it. It's very difficult, but these are hard times, and I think we need to accept that we are facing them.
Rejoice Ngwenya is a writer and head of the Zimbabwean Coalition for Market and Liberal Solutions. You can read some of his work at africanliberty.org. He was part of a Capitol Hill briefing yesterday, the content of which can be heard at cato.org.